Grab your chairs, thanks. You guys are always a lot of fun. Yeah. They're not dress pants. Wait till you see me on New Year's. That's still bothering me a little. They want me to dress up. We're doing this wedding vow renewal thing, right? Is my mic on? Am I on? You hear it? Okay, good. You guys doing good? It's good to be here. You guys are really a lot of fun. Worship was off the hook. And I got this amazing idea during offering when they blasted that music. I thought, wouldn't it be awesome to have that like piped into your home when you need to get up? Really, like with the technology they have today, like have it built in an alarm clock, have one of those little compact speakers that you hook up that blast, and have it set up that you can't turn it off. That you'd actually be forced to believe it. So then when you get up in the morning, you wouldn't be like, ugh, or whatever. But you'd be like, no more shackles. Could you imagine just going to the bathroom and you're singing that song? And then you're getting in the car to go to work and no complaining, no frustration, not a bunch of stuff already on your plate before the day started. Just no more shackles, no more shackles. Wouldn't that be awesome? This young lady, she stood up here and she said, we get to know you. It was the most powerful word you're ever going to get. She said it like 20 times, and every time she said it, it got bigger. It was awesome. I was looking in her face, too. Did you see her face when she was saying it? Who saw what I saw? Just kept, and you could see it was the Lord. And the Lord was saying, I want you to know me. Through her, he just kept saying, I want you to know me. He was inviting you into relationship. It's just fun. This, if you pay attention, you'll get a lot. Just and Barnabas. Barnabas, son of encouragement. He got a lot out of the men's meeting because he just nailed it. I don't have to recap nothing. You did it, man. Because every men's meeting I stood up and I said, who's here? Who's new? Who wasn't here yet? Nate, raise your hand and I say, well, let me just kind of recap where we just were, and then I go in for about what, hour? So you did that for me. So we can just come out fresh. I feel far away. Far away. Okay, good. Yeah. Huh? No. I'm really growing. I used to never get that close to you. Right? That's why they put it way back there. Because I like, stay back. Don't touch me. It goes for some of the friends you run with, too. Don't touch me. No, we're going to do something today here. No, think about that song. No more shackles, no more chains. The room lifted up. Everybody's kind of ended up all to their feet. And we're just hopping and jumping. And the song's amazing. But it's the truth we live. It's the truth we live in the face of feelings. It's the truth we live in the face of challenges and personal stuff. That's why you have to embrace an understanding that your life's not your own. When you wake up, you're privileged to be in Christ. You're not challenged to make it. You're privileged to be in Christ. Most people get tricked into using their faith to get through instead of using their faith to become. Because when you become, you'll get through everything in Him. You'll always leave a deposit of Him in everything, no matter how it's going. And how it's going never will decide you who He is in you, and what you've become already settles it. You've already become. Listen, just don't get tricked into using the gospel as a survival kit. Because it's not. The gospel isn't a way to make it. Gospel is God's plan to get you back to truth and purpose in the face of life and adversity. So if you think you didn't arrive until everything irons out, you're going to be way deceived. You're going to be moved by what didn't iron out. And you're going to live like this. And you're going to have moments where it feels happy and you're brave enough to sing No More Shackles. But what about in a moment? What about in a day? What about in three? And then if you're not careful, you turn inward and say, I can't believe this is happening to me. Here we go again. I just don't know how I'm going to go through this. And now your language is a dead giveaway that you really don't understand. That you're tricked into trying to make it instead of become. Are you guys good? Man, I just feel like I'd sit down right now. I just felt happy about that. Are you good? Listen, man, somebody ought to make one of them alarm clocks and have that thing piped in. I don't even use an alarm clock, but I would use one if you had one like that. Have a little speaker hooked up and have it set up where you can't turn it off. You can't do the snooze, 9 minute suffer in your flesh, knowing you have to get up anyway and bam, 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 bam. 9 minutes later, bam, bam. Oh, you're torturing yourself. Just get up before the thing beeps in the first place and lift your hands to heaven and thank God he loves you. Thank God you don't live in the flesh and you're not driven by the flesh and you're not bound by the flesh. That he loves you, that he's robed you in righteousness. Man, put on your spiritual slippers before you even get out of bed. Hey, that sure beats grunting and burping and passing gas and dragging to the bathroom. I'm just saying. And dreading your day and already thinking about noon and, oh my gosh, and at 3 o'clock, and now you got yourself frazzled before you even get to the restroom. Restroom? Are we okay? What's wrong? Am I too close to you? Coming back. I'm blaming everything on Tracy. Only because I know you're 50. I know you're 50 real soon, but there is no way I could believe that. You've been well preserved. Well taken care of, David, right? You should have saw this man of God. So you can always see man of God when you're challenged in something and you do it. He closes his eyes. He looks up and I'm praying for God to show us how he loves our wives. And he goes. He's just done. He's. It was really good. And then you could see that he wants to love her that way. So he's just like this. It's just fun. It was good, Tracy. I was pulling for you, girl. We had some women here because they were serving, but then we had some trespassers, too. They didn't even take the time to stick on a mustache or put their hair under a hat or nothing. They just walked in and sit down. I said, they crossed the line. They got through security. Something happened. Oh, the security were women. That's what happened. That's what happened. They were all women. They just walked right in. It was something else. It's funny. I was going to say the way you start your day is amazing, but the way you go to bed is just as important. If you don't end your day in some form of thankfulness, you'll slowly, without even realizing, without an evil heart, a hypocrisy heart, without a bad heart, just because of not applying faith to truth and purpose of word, you just go to bed and you just don't take earnest heed and you don't guard your heart. You just go to bed. It could just be, because the day was challenging. And then you drift off to sleep because you wore out. And you justify that in natural language, human reasoning. And then it's hard to get up in the morning because you're still, and now you got to face what, and I'm just telling you, this is, see, when my granddaughter was little, she'd come over all the time. She doesn't come over as much, but she still comes over. We're going to get her here real soon, but she's almost 13 now. She's still little to me, but she's my baby. I love being a grandpa. I need about 20 grandkids, man. These little girls, they aren't even safe. Like, they come over, she's 6 years old, got a little teeth missing. I'm like, hey, you, I'm Nora. I'm nudging her. And she's laughing. So the more she laughed, the more I'm nudging her. I said, how old are you? She said, six, like as many teeth as I lost. I lost 6 teeth. I said, you are so precious. Oh, my goodness. I said, I would love it if you were my granddaughter. I would love to be your grandpa. She said, well, then you'd have to marry my grandma. That's what she said. She's 6 years old. She said, well, then you would have to marry my grandma. I mean, I wasn't going all that far. No offense. I married. I just wanted to be her grandpa. She's hooking me up. I'm like, how'd she even know that? Well, like, my way to think that. She was just so precious. But my granddaughter would come over, and you know what we do? We do stuff. We're like, we're trying to calm them down. Hour before bed, relax, read a book. Easy. No triggers, no sugar. Because we aiming at bedtime. We're already thinking at about an hour and a half. Am I being exaggerating, or am I just... Do you know what I do? Do you know what I do? I've learned this from the Lord. You could not receive it all you want. When it's getting time for bed, right before bed, I ramp her up. It's the highest point of her day. I get her so fired up that she can't even stand it. Right 5 minutes before tucking. I got her so fired up, she's freaked out. Why? Because I want her to go to bed that way. Highest point of her day. Because she just get up. Because she got good things going on. Can't wait to see Grandpa. Another day. That sure beats, calm down, settle down. Now don't get too excited. No, we can't watch that because you'll laugh. We're gearing up for bed, honey. No laughing. Come on, I'm not that far off. So my wife in the beginning would say, honey, you always fire her up so much, you get her so wound up right before bed. I said, it's on purpose. I said, you tell me one day she hasn't laid down there, you close the door, slide out the room, she's sleeping in 5 minutes. It's all over play. I said, I do it on purpose because I want her fired up. I want her excited. I want her belly laughing. Right? Yeah. I want her belly laughing. So it would get to the point she'd say, because I always would let her and grandma have time because my granddaughter would always cling to me. She's always clinged to me. I've always felt like her favorite person on the planet. It's kind of cool. I didn't try that. It just worked out that way. But I'd give her and grandma quiet. She'd always tuck her in, pray with her. But she'd come and say goodnight to me. So she would come and say, Grandpa, I'm going to go to bed now. Because she knew it was coming. I'd be all like playing it cool. Okay, baby, just come here. Give me a little hug. Ah! I just said, running. And I'm just staying just behind her. You know what time, kid? I'm just behind her. Oh, Jesus, down the steps, up the steps, and got her. And then it's on, man. She'll run into the bedroom. Grammy, Grammy, Grandpa. Blah, 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 blah. I mess with her. I don't hate cats. I just don't prefer them. So she wears cat stuff on purpose to mess with me. So she comes down, little cat pajamas. Grandpa. She'll rub her cats on me. I'll just strip her down. I throw her down, whoop, throw the things, take everything off. She's standing there in underwear. It's good there wasn't cats on her underwear. It's right before bed. She's like, oh, Grammy, look what Grandma did! So you put her in bed, she's like, is this something awesome? Holy Spirit taught me a long time ago. Why do you think the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Because your heart will wake up that way and be affected by it and be calloused and be dulled and your senses will be. You don't let the sun go go down. You don't go to bed with unresolved stuff in your heart. Even if you can't resolve it physically, relationally, you resolve it in your heart. You don't close your eyes and sleep on it, because it's still alive in the morning and it's grown through the night. You don't even realize it. It affects you. Come on. Man, you go to bed with thankfulness. You thank him for his faithfulness. You thank him that life is a gift and life is a privilege. Boy, your heart will never get hard. You'll never buy into depression that just comes through dysfunctional emotional patterns. I understand sometimes depression, they say, is clinical and stuff, and I get all that, and I'm not here to challenge that. But a lot of the depression and stuff comes from not handling the feelings and emotions and stuff in truth. So if you go to bed tonight and you just barely made it through the day, and the only time you said God is when you dove in and squeezed the pillow and said, "Oh God." And now you're making love to your pillow because it's like a savior to you. You're glad you're finally in bed and you made it, and you fall asleep in that place. That's called depression in the morning. Because you can't get up and face what you barely handled. And if you don't get resolve, you have no restoration, no refueling. You're not empowered. You guys good? This stuff just comes to me. It ain't my fault. I ain't even preached nothing like this forever. But it feels right this morning. You go to bed, the way you go to bed, because I was going to say, man, the way you wake up is amazing. And the Lord said, how about the way you go to bed? It just happened to me earlier. Like, ooh, let's talk about it. See what happens. See, I'm on a journey with you. That doesn't mean I'm unprepared. Yeah. It's one of the major things you taught me over the years, is the way I go to bed. You have resolve in your heart, even if you can't make resolve this way. You don't let it eat at you. You don't see, the more insecure you are, the more you're worrying about everything, about what they think, what they said. But I, you know, and you can pawn it off and sound spiritual. You can say, yeah, but I just know they're hurt right now or mad at me, and it just bothers me that they're mad at me, and I get all that. But you still can make peace in your heart where you trust him who judges righteously, and you have every intention of resolving this thing as possible, but you don't let it get in you. And that's what we talked with the men all weekend. We talked about overcoming rivals. And a rival, Barnabas laid it out, is everything that comes against you shining and walking in his image. Because the whole reason you're a Christian is to be restored back to the image of God. It's not to go to heaven and get blessings, provision, and protection. That's not the priority of your Christianity. They're just things God does because he's just amazing. Because if you're not careful, Paul and Silas are bound up and beaten and hanging on the wall of a prison, doesn't look like they were protected. If you're thinking circumstance, but they're so protected. Why? Because their life's not their own. They love not their own life unto death, so they've already overcome. So you really can't touch them. Even though they got touched, they're not touched. It's like a time years ago, I was going through some witchcraft stuff, and people were looking at my body, and leaders that are respected in my life said, "Damn, but look at your leg." And I'm like, "Look at my leg? Why would I look at my leg? You would never preach that." And the one leader said, "Well, we're just confused because we're just troubled, and we're afraid you're in spiritual pride, and we're afraid you're afraid to go do this and this and this because of how it'll look, and because of the passion and what you preach, and he said this. He said, "You understand righteousness and you have a relationship with God, but sometimes I envy. And when I see this happening to you, I'm wondering, how can this touch you?" So he said, "He's thinking too much." I said, "Maybe you need to look me in the eyes and tell me if it's touching." I said, "You're looking at the wrong place and it's touching you. It ain't touched me. It ain't touched me until it got me here." Why? Because I love not my own life unto death. This thing isn't even about my leg. It isn't even about my well-being. It's about the kingdom. Throw the sentiment aside. I'm not going to buy into it. I gave my life. He will well defend it. So wonder if I'm not afraid. So now am I a loony? No, probably just out of some of your minds. Well, I think you're loony too. Well, okay. However, he said, but how can this touch you? Sir, I think you're looking at the wrong place. Maybe you need to look at my eyes and tell me if it's touched me. See, because he's looking at the wrong place, it touched him. Why? Because he sincerely cared for me and he was concerned for me above what I was concerned, and that concerned him. Ever run into that with family? Well, I know you're praying and all, but... Ever see anything like that? So let me just stay here. I gotta go, man. Okay. So the way you end your day has an amazing influence in how you wake up, and how you wake up will determine how you live your day. And at the end of that day, how you end it just brings on another day. And next thing you know, you can account for your days. Next thing you know, you've had influence, productivity, and fruitfulness. Why? Because your perspective is crystal clear and you're not letting life become personal, because you let the gospel become personal and life is a gift. Are you with me? Come on. It's what's called living by faith. We're just struggling, trying to get through. We got all our story, and we're asking for prayer all the time, and we got our whole list of why and what's wrong, and yeah, but you don't know the struggles. Yeah, but it's always something, and I don't know why it's three things at once. I just feel like I'm marked. I just feel like the devil's always, and sometimes I feel like God's messing with me, and sometimes I go, did you ever hear that? And now you got all these reasons why you ain't okay, and not one of them is hinged on truth. And you got one reason why you can be. No more shackles, no more chains. See? Because your own spouse can be acting crazy, but Jesus ain't. So why are you letting their crazy make you crazy when Jesus ain't acting crazy? The only way I'm going to follow you is if I see Jesus. And then I'll be right with you. I'll follow you. Well, maybe. Maybe I'll follow you. I might let you step up and take my place. Just messing with Tracy. I really do love you guys. I'm just messing with you. You overcome all this stuff by faith, you. Apply the word. Who said it? The young lady. She was doing the announcements. She was snookered. Is that what you call it? Snockered. Snookered. Snockered. Sounds the same. Probably act the same. Snookered. Snockered. See, now I'm snookered. I can't even remember what I was going to say. I'm totally lost right now. I gotta move. Stop. That's not even funny. I know. No. I don't like not being able to think about what I'm saying. It ain't gonna work. Stop. It ain't gonna work. No. I will run. I will run. I'm fine. Ask Jesus. Pray and ask Jesus. He'll tell you I'm fine. It's your call every day. It's your call to live by faith. Guys, that doesn't mean live by feelings, impressions, and what it seems. So the only way to live by faith and defeat impressions, feelings, and what it seems is to get a solid grip on why you're a Christian and why he's in you and what your day is really all about. And if you don't get a strong reason for being, you'll do Jesus instead of be more like him. Are you with me? And you'll hang around where he is, and you'll sing songs about him, and you'll love people that love him, and you'll let the connectivity be your identity. And never get to really know him. Whew. That was so God, I feel it. See, I could cry right now. That's God's heart. But see, he wants you to know him. And I think he's come out like he is. I don't think he's playing charades. I think he's saying, love you. Always have. Have great plans, destiny, purpose. Have a great view of you. Yeah. So we probably ought to roll that thing back. Come on in. Yeah? The just shall live by faith. Please understand the power of that and the gift of that. The reason faith, I learned this in the Lord in my bedroom a long time ago when I was talking about faith with the Lord. Sometimes, did you ever feel like you were borderline getting a little frustrated with the whole faith thing? Like, why does it got to be faith? Why can't God just boom? Why is it always faith? And preachers say, well, because God co-labors with man and he set it up that way. And we got all the teachings to answer all our questions. But still, whoever was just like thinking about, why is it always faith? Who's ever honestly thought that and thought, why can't God just boom, boom, boom? Why is it always got to be faith? And why do I got to have faith? It's such a gift. It's God's answer to get you to not live sensual. It's his answer. It's his comeback. So he says, listen, when Adam sinned, he became flesh-driven and sensual, and that's what you were all born into, and that's what you're used to. I want you to shift camps, come out of darkness into light, live by faith and not live by sensuality. So don't live by what it seems, live by what it is. And the just shall live by faith, because the sensuality feels more real sometimes than what it is. So now you're only asking ministry, you're only asking for prayer to feel better. And you believe that until that goes away, you're not free. So now you can't sing no more shackles, no more chains, because you're waiting for your feelings to change. And then a large percent of ministry is from sincere-hearted people ministering to impressions, feelings, memories, and flashbacks that has nothing to do with the truth. Man, I'm preaching like that. I feel it. It feels like a sword. Come on. You with me? So faith is a gift from the Lord. It's his answer. Because we've been sensually driven our whole life. People think, and still until I stop seeing this in my mind, till I stop thinking this, till I stop remembering this, I'm not free and I need deliverance. Come on. Until you stop believing this. Yeah? Come on. The problem is, you're taking this personal and you're living in this now moment of essential. You're saying, until this goes away, I can't be free. I'm saying the word says, until you stop believing this, you can't be free. So seeing it isn't even a problem. Not believing truth is your biggest problem, and believing what you're seeing outside of truth. But I told God I was sorry, and it was the darkest day of my life, and I wished I never did what I did, and I thought he would love me and forgive me. Why doesn't he make that image go away? And all of a sudden, that horrific night of darkness and sin, you just replay it. You're driving to work and replay it. You get to work, and it's in your mind, and you think you need deliverance. I rebuke you. Devil, get out of my mind. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. You plead the blood 10 times and the image is there. Why? Because it's not about pleading the blood over your mind. The weapons of your warfare is flooding your mind with truth. So as soon as you get the flashback and image, you smile to the Lord as if you're not even seeing it. And you say, Father, I thank you. You set me free and delivered me and put a new thing in me. I thank you. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm brand new and you love me and you live inside of me. I appreciate you clothing me in righteousness and filling me with your spirit. Yeah? And then that thing goes, yak, 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 yak. And Father, I just thank you that I'll never be the same. And I'm delivered. And I don't need no prayer because I got victory. I got no more shackles. I got no more chains. Come on. Come on. We got to believe this thing. You be honest in this room. How many of us have bought into impressions and memories and flashbacks and we say, but I just hate seeing it. No, the reason you hate seeing it is because you're believing it and you're attaching it to you and it makes you feel defiled. If you actually believe the opposite, seeing it is a springboard to rejoice and freak out and worship God. The devil don't never want you to get this. Because it's his only attack point through sensuality. The just live by, and we love not our unto death. So I ain't taking this personal. I ain't getting frustrated. Well, why doesn't God knock that voice out of my head? You knock it out of your head by stopping believing it and proclaiming truth in the face of it. It's the weapon of your warfare, and it's mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, mental strongholds, beliefs that you've set on for years and learned to believe and got grayed out by them and defiled by them, and they want to keep you there, and you feel like if this doesn't go away, you're not okay. I'm saying it's a lie. Until you stop believing this, you're not okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I do not have to stop remembering the past to be free from the past. I do not need some ministry to try to drive it out of my memory. Why? Because we're believers. And we already know if we could go back and do that thing over, we would do different. We already know we were sorry. We were there when we cried. Yeah? So something's changed in here. And when that thing says yak, 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 you totally ignore it. Don't rebuke it. Don't waste an ounce of spiritual energy. Watch. I got scripture for you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Guess what you're resisting is? You're resisting is you're submitting. It's one step, and it's powerful because he will flee. Watch. Watch. And if he comes back 10 more times and repeats it, don't say, well, how come this ain't working? It's not a method. It's a relationship. It's not a Christian method. You say, well, why is it not going away? I want it to leave. I'm so tired of hearing these voices. No, I'm so enjoying speaking the truth. And the voices should spring you to truth. God's wisdom is designed so amazing and so undefeatable if we continue in faith that all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, the voices aren't even a problem. Believing the voices are the problem. The voices are a springboard to truth. If this is trying to tear me down and he's trying to lift me up, I'm just going to flip that thing. This must be truth. What do you mean I'm not worthy? You hear that? You'll never be nothing. Your life ain't amounting to nothing. You know you'll never change. Who's ever heard stuff like that out of the blue in their head? Who's ever heard, you think you've come so far? This is all just hype anyway, you singing and dancing. But what's your life really matter? You ain't making no difference. People ain't even touched by your life. You ain't shining like no light. People ain't falling over in Walmart when you walk by. Who's ever heard stuff like that in their head trying to condemn them? Soon as you hear it, soon as you hear it, ignore it completely. You ever been ignored when you were a kid? Play the ignore game. People like, you say, oh, come on, you know you hear me. You hear anything? I don't know. Did you ever have that done or do that to people? Tick you off, man. You just want to shake them. You know, that's before Jesus, before Jesus. Tick you off. Could you imagine that little imp coming up there? You'll never be nothing. You're not worthy. Your life don't really matter. Your coworkers ain't seeing nothing. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in my life. That little imp goes. Because he ain't used to that. I probably acted out here. I acted out a little skit the Lord gave me a long time ago. But the devil, he sends a little imp over to the guy that's growing. And he reminds him of his past. And the guy got two options. The guy got two options. He can believe what this thing whispers. Or he can believe the truth that's growing in his heart. And in the little skit, I have the devil walking back, the little imp walking back to the devil. He's saying, boss, I told him everything you said, boss. You ever see me act that out on video or anything? I told him, and he slaps him. He says, you fool, you didn't tell him that. Because when you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this Christian, boss. I think we found a believer. I think he believes in God. Woo! Wouldn't it be amazing if that thing comes to you? You ain't, whether your life's not really making no difference. What are you all fired up? That was just all hype anyway yesterday. You were rolling around, laughing, singing, jumping around. Well, where's all that today? What's going on with you now? Anybody ever hear that kind of stuff? It don't happen to me no more. It hadn't happened to me for years. Why? Been submitting to God. And it'll flee. It would be so silly for the devil to slide up on my shoulder and say, well, you ain't worthy. I will preach for 4 hours. I will quote every scripture that's in my heart. Well, you ain't worthy. Bah! I'll be so filled with the Holy Ghost because of that. He ain't even going to talk like that to me. That'd be like giving Popeye a can of spinach. You ain't never going to be nothing. Wouldn't it be amazing driving in your car, getting them impressions? Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that my life is so worthy, that you're doing a work in me. And you know what, God? Sometimes I don't even see the magnitude of it, but I believe you're sowing seeds into men's hearts through my life. And I thank you as you keep changing me, men will see the change. And I'm not living for men to see the change. Man, I'm living to know you because it's a blast. Thank you for our relationship. And I just love what you're doing to me. And that little imp is going, what? You're supposed to be freaking out, man. You're supposed to be calling somebody on your cell phone for prayer because you ain't feeling good. You be careful with that stuff. You make people your prayer heroes. I'm calling Sister So-and-so. She just prayed me through. I don't think she's praying you through. I think you've reduced yourself to the highest grace you receive is that you know she cares and you put your faith in her prayers. So you feel better for a moment, but don't believe different. That's why you have to call her later. You wake up in the morning and you don't have that thing piping in your no more shackles. And you just got bam, bam, bam. And you wake up and you go, because of past practice, you say, oh, man, I know this feeling. Man, it's going to be another one of them days. I just ain't feeling it today, man. You roll back in bed. You try to roll around a little. And you're looking at that clock. You sit up again. You say, man, I'm just going to call Johnny because I know he loves me, man. He's walking with God. He's walking with God. I'm just going to get him to pray me through this, man. Johnny, can you pray for me, bud? I just want them feelings, man. It just feels like one of them days. I know 2 weeks ago this happened. I barely made it, dude. I can't go to work like this. You got to pray for me. We call that, totally call that Christian. We just think that's Christian, and Johnny's being a good brother, and that Billy's calling in faith. No relationship, no privilege of knowing him, no just sitting on your bed saying, you know what, God, your grace is so greater than how I feel. I know 2 weeks ago I felt like this, and I didn't really respond this way, and it almost destroyed me, but I ain't having that because your grace is greater. Man, you didn't lift me up to watch me get crushed today. I'm not letting in a feeling, an emotion. I'm not even letting this body. Body, you will work. You will function. I speak life. And you begin to just go after whatever it is to find grace. But not even on the body side. Let me just stick on this emotional soul side, because I think that's where the biggest battles are won and lost. Right here. Yeah? So you don't need prayer in that situation. You need truth. And you need relationship and communion with God. And all of a sudden, grace comes on what you believe, and what you believe becomes your reality. And all of a sudden, you're empowered, and you can't even relate to what was. Are you with me? Just thoughtful stuff. I'm probably done. I'm probably out of time anyway. No, I'll probably wrap up. I ain't got much more to preach. I done flat out lied right in your church. Uh-oh. Right in your church. Just lie. I got a lot to preach, but I don't know that I have any more to preach this morning. I think we come because we want to hear what God's saying, and we come to get stirred in love and good works. And we also just get to celebrate him and corporately enjoy him. Encourage one another and connectivity, and there's so many beautiful things. But the Bible says to not forsake what we're doing right now, in order that every man and every heart and every woman would be stirred in love and good works. So you never just become a confessing Christian, but the expression of Christ. So you never just get tricked into going to church and that's your Christianity. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go over to Redemption House. You are her, the church. And you look good to him. Amen? So let me pray over you. Let me bless you. Let me pray over you. Father, I just thank you. We're going to walk out these truths. I thank you. Thoughts, impressions, flashbacks, voices are rendered powerless today. I pray that every person take a strong stand and say, you know what? I'm done being played. I'm done being tricked. I'm done believing what I've been thinking and feeling. It ain't coming out of my heart, or I wouldn't bother me. If it wasn't bothering me, I'd be more concerned, but it bothers me, and I know it ain't coming out of my heart. So I separate this thing right now and say, you know what? I'm coming after you, and I'm letting strong truth make the difference in my life. Father, I pray that everybody has a conscious awareness when they tuck in at night how they go to bed. And I thank you they'll reap the dividends as they wake up. And I thank you their days will just look different because of your faithfulness and simple faith in a room full of believers. Let our lives be impactful without us striving and struggling. Let our lives have influence by your grace. Let it matter that we lived in you. Let our days be accounted for when we stand before you. And let people just come out of the woodwork that we're touched by our attitudes, our disposition, our nature, and the way we loved. More than we can know. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.